New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Good morning to you. Happy Monday morning. Joining us at 7:05 is Joe DeGeneva. We'll discuss the Mueller investigation and how far afield it has gone from its initial purpose. At 7:35, Peter Navarro, the director of the White House Trade Council, will be with us to discuss the effect of the tariffs that the president is discussing. And at 8:05, it's Christian Toto to talk about the awards last night that none of us were invited to. I'm Mary Walter. I'm here with Vince Colonese.
You heard Mary mention it. A 10% tax on all aluminum imports and a 25% tariff on steel. That's the announcement. Peter Navarro was on the Sunday shows this weekend. And joining us now to break it all down is Peter Morici, University of Maryland economist. Peter, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So your initial reactions to the president's announcement of these tariffs?
Well, as was with solar panels, these industries have been dramatically damaged by Chinese subsidized competition and unfair trade practices. China has dramatically increased its ability to make metals with subsidies and flooded global markets. And just shutting down China doesn't end the problem because, for example, aluminum is really an absolute commodity, even more than oil. You can't tell aluminum made in the United States, Bolivia, or China one from another. And so basically, if we shut off Chinese aluminum, it goes to Canada, and then Canadian aluminum comes to the United States. More accurately, places like Turkey and Korea. That's why they're addressing the problem this way. Now, the critics say, well, you know, you really ought to engage your allies. I agree, if the allies were engageable. When we go to the Europeans and ask for help with China, as President Obama did, they tell us to pound salt. They're only willing to help in words only when we do something like this. If the Germans can't make a dollar at something, or if it's going to cost them a dollar, they won't cooperate. And if the French, for example, aren't viewed in the process as absolutely the preeminent party, they're not interested. Between the German profit motive and French pride, well, that's why Britain's bolting out of the European Union.
You know, the president talked about...
I need you to speak up.
The president talked about bad trade deals, unfair trade deals, when he was campaigning. So how is this a surprise to anyone? Isn't this what the people loved when he was campaigning? We liked this talk.
Well, the base says it likes it. I mean, if you look at, you know, if you look at my tweets and you look at the reaction and even some thoughtful leaders in the financial press, or like for example Charles Payne on Fox, is very much for this policy. I think while this policy is merited, what is lacking here, and that Peter Navarro can never give anyone, Wilbur Ross can never give anyone, is what they want out of China. In other words, what would a new trading relationship with China look like? This administration sees a problem, and it's angry, and it comes up with remedies, but it doesn't have an end game. That's what bothers me. The thing is so demagogued. For example, you know, you had the global supply chain shutting down and the world crashing down as a result of this. Well, that did not happen when we imposed steel tariffs back in 2002. That's the first thing. And the second thing is we're hearing stories about how it's going to shut down whole industries. Let's look at the aluminum can industry. This is probably going to raise the cost of an aluminum can a quarter of a cent. And it's going to raise the cost of a six-pack that cost a six-pack of Bud, a 12-pack of Bud, by, you know, maybe 3 cents on a $20, you know, package of beer. Now, how can that have that kind of consequence? You know, I'm an economist and I've done the math. It just can't have that kind of consequence. But, you know, anything that this president wants to do or suggest is absolutely distorted by the press. And I can give you example after example, whether it's the big dig going on to the Hudson River. The New York Times was vilifying Trump for that this weekend when Chuck Schumer made that mess. Whatever it is, whatever this guy suggests doesn't get a fair hearing. So we start to come to a consensus as a country about what's reasonable to do. But at the end of the day, Peter Navarro can't put out there a reasonable policy towards China, and a reasonable set of prescriptions. You know, they certainly don't communicate, with people that are allied with them in the professions, in the economics profession and legal profession. They just sort of walled up there making war with Cohen and Mnuchin, who are against this policy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the internal politics are terrible.
So, we're talking about sort of it won't destroy the global supply chain. But on the flip end, will it support industries in the United States? Will we see growth in the U.S. steel industry as a result of this?
I think it depends. You know, first of all we've heard is what the president's going to oppose, 25 and 10. He hasn't talked about the duration, exceptions, things like that. In order to really help these industries, it has to be long-term. The aluminum smelting industry is very small now in the United States, but there is an aluminum industry, people that import basically slabs of aluminum and roll it out, because smelting has gone to places where the subsidies are available. It can't be something that lasts 18 months. It has to be long-term to have an enduring effect. Steel, it's a little bit more possible to ramp up quickly than aluminum, and there's certainly a lot of excess capacity laying around in steel. But, you know, in the end of the day, the jobs only last if you come up with a permanent solution to China's illegal trade practices, or this is a permanent, this is a permanent condition. But either way, the U.S. economy, the world is not going to come to an end because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Europeans want to be so indignant, well, you know something? They're indignant about everything we suggest and every flaw we point out to them. I mean, they basically treat Donald Trump like he's a criminal. So, you know, how is it possible to take their indignance seriously? I mean, I got such a kick. Theresa May calls up the president expressing her concerns. As soon as he was elected president, her body language was so repulsive in his direction. How can she expect that? You know, Donald Trump's a real statesman for taking her phone calls. He really is. He really is, because she's just like Nancy Pelosi. I mean, you know, Donald is a real statesman for even bothering with Nancy Pelosi after the State of the Union. I mean, she behaved like a sulking child in the back of my classroom who got a D on the exam because she didn't study. Guess what, Nancy? You lost the election. This is a democracy. You're supposed to honor the president and work with him until the next round of voting. Hello, Nancy. Founding fathers wrote that down.
Well, I can tell you who's not going to be taking your class. Peter Morici.
No, she's not going to be taking my class. And, you know, if she came to register at the university, they probably wouldn't let her in my class because the university might be afraid that she actually might learn something, because they're right in line with her.
Uh-huh. Peter Morici, thank you. Really appreciate it. As always, join us again soon on Economics,
sir. Bye-bye.
6:15 now. WMAL traffic and weather.